Douglas Crook, Wednesday, August 29th, 2012.
We're ready to consider chapter 30 of the book of Proverbs, if you'll open there with me this evening, if you would. We finished up the topical chapters looking at the different themes that are found there. But now we'll consider these last two chapters of Proverbs in a verse-by-verse format. And we'll consider the first nine verses this evening of chapter 30 of the book of Proverbs. Proverbs 30, beginning at verse 1. The words of Agur, the son of Jake, his utterance. This man declared to Ithiel and Ucal, surely I am more stupid than any man, and do not have the understanding of a man. I neither learned wisdom nor have knowledge of the Holy One. Who has ascended into heaven or descended? Who has gathered the wind in his fists? Who has bound the waters in a garment? Who has established all the ends of the earth? What is his name? And what is his son's name, if you know? Every word of God is pure. He is a shield to those who put their trust in him. Do not add to his words, lest he rebuke you and you be found a liar. Two things I request of you, deprive me not before I die. Remove falsehood and lies far from me. Give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with the food allotted to me, lest I be full and deny you and say, who is the Lord? Or lest I be poor and steal and profane the name of God. In this chapter, we're introduced to four individuals, and they may be real people with the real names of Agur, Jake, Ithiel, and Ucal. They may be real names of real people, a teacher and a couple of students and the father of the teacher. But more likely, they are probably symbolic names used by Solomon to illustrate the importance of applying the wisdom that is revealed in this chapter and throughout the book of Proverbs and throughout the Word of God. The names are easily understood to give us lessons, whether they were primarily meant to be symbolic or not. The lessons certainly are found there. The name Agur means gatherer or collector. And this, of course, is exactly what Solomon did by collecting these proverbs. The thought is one who gathers for himself the wisdom of God in order to become wise and in order to share that wisdom with others. And that really, as a child of God, that should be our desire, to know God and to share that knowledge with others, to be wise and to share that wisdom with others. So this is what Agur, the teacher, did. He was a gatherer. He was a collector. The name Jake means to fear God or to be obedient. This goes on to tell us something more than just gathering wisdom. A lot of Christians are good at learning doctrine in order to parrot it, to simply repeat it upon demand. But that's not the kind of collecting that we're supposed to do. We collected in order that we might apply it. That because we fear God, because we stand in awe of who he is and his wisdom that he has graciously revealed to us, we want to have our life conformed to that wisdom, being an example of that wisdom. And so it leads to obedience. And this is something that I've often been criticized about. But this is the teaching of Scripture from Genesis to Revelation. God's grace is received by faith, and faith always produces obedience. And this is what the name of Jake means, to fear God or to be obedient, to apply it to your life. The name of Ithiel means God is with me or God has arrived. And this is the result of gathering the wisdom of God and then being obedient to it, applying it to your life, we experience the presence of God in our life as never before. And where the presence of God is in your life, there you're going to find the power of God. And that leads us to the name of Eucal. Eucal means I shall be completed or established. Some translate it, I shall prevail with power. And so the thought of the word, the force of the word, is to be established because of an overwhelming power. When we take in the Word of God, when we apply it to our life, we experience the presence of God in a very real and a personal and an intimate way. God arrives in a very real way in our life. And then that leads to us experiencing the power of God to enter into all of the benefits that we have considered in the book of Proverbs and throughout Scripture. That a life of faith produces and establishes us in the blessings of God both now and for eternity. In this passage, Agur, the teacher, the collector, describes himself as being the most stupid among all men. Now again, if this is Solomon, we know that God declared him to be the wisest man that ever lived. And yet he understands that in and of himself, he's stupid. In fact, the description that he gives is that he is more stupid than a beast. In other words, he doesn't have the intelligence of a man even. He's like a brute beast. That's how he considers his own wisdom in and of himself before he starts collecting the wisdom of God. And he proves, in describing himself as being that kind of ignorant being, ignorant of God and who he is and what he does and what he's capable of and what his will and purpose and very nature is, in describing himself that way, of course, he's describing all of humanity. And this is why the lessons are broad here. Man in and of himself, when it comes to the knowledge of God, is as ignorant as a brute beast. And to prove his point in verse 4, he asks six questions. Who has ascended, verse 4, who has ascended into heaven or descended? Who has gathered the wind in his fists? Who has bound the waters in a garment? Who has established all the ends of the earth? What is his name? And in the Bible, especially Old Testament, but really all through Scripture, but when it talks about someone's name, it's talking about their very character and their very nature. So the question has to do not just what do you call him, but what is God's nature? What's he like? What's his character? And what is his son's name? And the thought behind that question is, to whom has he imparted his very character and his very nature? So he asks these questions and then he says, if you know. So he's not only acknowledging his own ignorance, he's making it clear to all humanity, you don't know these things in and of yourself. No one has the wisdom or the power to do the things that he asks here. No one has the ability to explain these things. So all men in their natural state are stupid and foolish. The answer to the first four questions, of course, is God, the Creator. He's the one who does those things. Why do the seas stay where they're put? Who's able to ascend and descend to and from heaven? God is, and I'm glad God did. The answer to the last two questions is only God knows the answer to that. Only God knows his own character. Only God knows his own nature. Only God knows to whom he will impart his very divine nature. So man's condition of stupidity. And you look at the human race. This is why you see such stupidity. Self-destructive ignorance. It's the result of what's revealed in verse 3. I neither learned wisdom nor have knowledge of the Holy One. This is why man, why humanity is so self-destructive in their stupidity. It's because they don't know their Creator, nor can they know. This is what the teacher was saying. I'm stupid. I don't have the knowledge. Proverbs 9 and verse 10. Let's go back and read what we've read on several occasions. But this is something that every individual needs to come to this place. It's impossible for us to obtain true lasting wisdom apart from knowing God. And as we come to the New Testament, we understand it's impossible to know God apart from faith in Jesus Christ. And this is why the gospel of Jesus Christ in its simplicity is so important for us to proclaim with clarity. We're hearing a lot these days, and please understand, this has nothing to do with the political scene, nor is it an influence to point you in any direction politically. But the reality is we're hearing a lot of statements about what is a Christian and what is not a Christian, what religions are true Christians and what are not. And the simplicity is this. Jesus said, no man comes to the Father but by me, through faith in Jesus Christ, not through any other holy prophet, not through any other church or priesthood or any other thing or any other religion that you might think of. And that doesn't mean that there's not good moral things that those other churches are involved in, because quite frankly, they are involved in some very good things. Things that are taught in Scripture, they are very much involved in some of those things. And I'm glad for that. But that is not the gospel that leads to knowing God. That's not the gospel that leads to a wisdom that causes us to enjoy God's best for time and for eternity. Proverbs 9:10 tells us, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. So if we want to be wise, we need to know God. If we want to know God, we have to come to Him through Jesus Christ, through faith in Him. It's impossible for us to gain knowledge through natural means. You know God by faith. Where does faith come from? You know it. What is it? Faith comes by hearing good opinions? No, faith comes by hearing the Word of God. Man is able to educate himself and become wise about a lot of things. Science, math, technology, philosophy. I'm stunned about what the human mind is able to comprehend and able to understand. It's astounding to me. But because I know God through faith, that just causes me to worship God who created these minds. But many use observation and reason and deduction and a number of other different methods to gain natural wisdom, and they are very successful. But you cannot know God through those natural means. You can't know God as He wants you to know Him by mere observation. Now, there are some things. Creation testifies to the power of a creator. But looking at creation, you can't understand the plan of redemption. It doesn't teach you that. God cannot be known by any natural means, and this is why His word is so important. Verse 5 of Proverbs 30. Before we read that again, this is why so many highly intelligent people deny the very existence of God. They are as stupid as brute beasts when it comes to spiritual and eternal truths. And when I stop and think about the privilege God has given me and you to understand what we understand, I very quickly, just like Agur, I understand quickly. It's not because I'm so smart I figured this out. But God in His grace and His mercy revealed Himself to me by His word. Because apart from His word and apart from faith in His word, I couldn't understand these things. And this is why there are so many highly intelligent people that deny the very existence of God. And you just scratch your head and you say, how can you be so stupid and yet be so smart? And this is why. The only way for us to know God is through a revelation of God from His word. He's the only one that knows His name. He's the only one who knows His nature and character. And this is why verse 5 tells us every word of God is pure. He's a shield to those who put their trust in Him, who take Him at His word. Do not add to his words, lest he rebuke you and you be found a liar. When you deny the truth of the word of God, you make yourself a liar. Now you're calling God the liar, but guess how that's going to end? His word is essential. This is why it's so important that we as a local assembly, this is what we're called to do. There are many things that we do in ministering to one another and outreaches and all the things that we do. All of that, it's a part of knowing his word and obeying his word. But saints, we're here to proclaim the word of God. That's our primary mission. And for God's people to look for other things and other reasons to come to church or not to come to church or to be a part of a local assembly, other reasons will only take us further from God and from knowing his character and his nature. But it's every word of God is pure. And he's a shield to those who put their trust in him, who trust his word to be true and accurate. Then you're going to know the protection of God and the provision of God in its fullest. 1 Corinthians 1, let's read some lengthy passages here in the New Testament that tell us the same thing that the Proverbs is telling us. And that is this, that God has revealed himself and his ways and his purposes in and through his word, the Bible. But even the Bible cannot be studied with the same approach that the intellectual study other books or other subjects. The Bible cannot be understood simply by human reason or human deduction. You must simply take God at his word. Now, when I say that, and Lord willing, the Lord's beginning to deal with me on some subjects as he allows me to put a message or a series of lessons together, I'll touch on what makes the gospel of Jesus Christ more believable than the Mormons, the Jehovah's Witness. They all have some pretty far out stories. You know, the Bible has Jesus walking on the water, rising from the dead. The others have some pretty far out stories. Islam has their fantasies. What makes Christianity more believable? There are many evidences why. And as, again, some, as the Lord gives me liberty, we'll touch on some of those things. But it all boils down to this. Those that take God at his word, that has proven itself to be trustworthy, time and time again, they will know God. They will experience the reality of the power of God to save you, to transform you, and to get you ready for eternity. You can't try to diagram that for everybody to their carnal satisfaction. Well, that doesn't make sense. We were talking earlier, I think it was with George, what was it that the psalmist David said, "Taste and see that the Lord is good. I've been tasting of the good things of the Lord all of my life. Saved as a young age, I thank God for that. I've never been disappointed when I've trusted the Lord. I've had disappointments. I have regrets. But none of them are when I've trusted God and believed his word." It matters, saints. 1 Corinthians 1. You want to be wise? Know God. You want to know God? Believe his word. It appoints you to faith in Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians 1:18. We're going to read a couple of long passages here, but it explains itself very clearly. "For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, 'I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent.' Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world through wisdom did not know God, it pleased God through the foolishness of the message preached to save those who believe. For Jews request a sign, and Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, to the Jews a stumbling block and to the Greeks foolishness. But to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. For you see your calling, brethren, look around. We can do this too. Paul told the Corinthians to look around the congregation. We can do the same thing. For you see your calling, brethren, that there are not many wise according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to put to shame the wise. And God has chosen the weak things of the world to put to shame the things which are mighty. And the base things of the world and the things which are despised God has chosen. And the things which are not to bring to nothing the things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. But of him you are in Christ Jesus, who became for us wisdom from God, and righteousness, and sanctification, and redemption. That as it is written, he who glories, let him glory in the Lord. Stop and think about that passage for a minute before we go on to another passage. Men think they are so smart and so intelligent. But God has chosen the foolish things, that'd be you, that'd be me, to confound the wise. We've been let in on the very wisdom of God. Like Agur, we were as stupid as brute beasts. But he revealed to us himself. And not only revealed himself to us, but departed his very divine nature to us. We are the sons of God. What are their names? Well, we know that the Son of God is Jesus Christ, but because of him and the preaching of the cross, the work of the cross, we are called the sons of God. We receive his nature. The Word of God tells me that. You can't deduce it. You believe it. And I believe that one day God will make foolish, more foolish than it already has shown itself to be, how foolish it was for men to think that all of this glorious creation was the result of billions of accidents. How foolish, how stupid men can be. I believe God. I enjoy the benefits of the wisdom of believing God. I don't deserve it, but I experience it, and I thank God for it. Jump over to chapter 2, 1 Corinthians, and we'll read the first 16 verses here. So that we understand that it's not enough just to study the Bible, to read it, or to memorize it. You can't try to figure it out like you figure out math. A revelation that comes from the Word of God is the work of the Holy Spirit. So this is a spiritual issue, that you have to surrender yourself to the ministry and the work of the Holy Spirit if you're going to truly collect wisdom and obey it and experience a deeper fellowship with God and the power of God. 1 Corinthians 2:1. And I, brethren, when I came to you, did not come with excellence of speech or of wisdom, declaring to you the testimony of God. Now, I believe that the Apostle Paul, the evidence is that he was a highly educated man. And so, unlike myself, I have to say this too, but it's because I've never learned the excellency of the speech of the wisdom of man. And that's not a brag or a boast, it's just reality. But with Paul, it was a choice. I believe he had the ability to come with man's wisdom because he studied it, he excelled in it. But he chose not to use those means to try to convince them with his speech. For I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. I was with you in weakness, in fear, and in much trembling. Kind of sounds like Agur. He was a brute beast. And my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. However, we speak wisdom among those who are mature, yet not the wisdom of this age, nor of the rulers of this age who are coming to nothing. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the ages for our glory, which none of the rulers of this age knew, for had they known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who loved him. But God has revealed them to us. They're not revealed to the natural man with natural means, but they're revealed to those who believe through the Spirit of God. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of man except the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. Only God knows God, and only God can reveal himself to you. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. These things we also speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he who is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is rightly judged by no one. No one can figure out a man or a woman who lives by faith. For who has known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Saints, I know these are familiar scriptures to most of you, but what an awesome privilege we have been given to be let in on the wisdom of God. A lot of times we have a tendency to be impressed with the powerful and the intelligent of this world and the natural success of things. And yet, more often than not, those natural successes and that natural intelligence leads men further and further from God. Saints, we shouldn't be embarrassed. We shouldn't be ashamed of the simplicity of faith in the gospel of Jesus Christ. It is the power of God to save any and all who believe. We're going to have to stop there this evening. But may we truly thank God for the privilege we've been given to know God, to be wise, and to enjoy the power of that wisdom. Let's stand.